ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Bumrah to Consis. He rams. He gets connection here. Lifts it over the keeper. One bounce for four.
Remember that? Sam Consis ramping Jasprit Bumrah last summer? Well, he's back. In the Prime Minister's 11, at least. They're taking on the English Lions in a two-day pink ball tour match this weekend. And with Usman Khawaja suffering back spasms in the Perth test, there is likely to be some eyeballs on the young opener. And who are England sending? None of the 11 who played in Perth, that's who. And it's the Supercars Grand Final in Adelaide this weekend. What does that look like and who's in the running to take it out? Plus, AFLW Grand Final teams ahead of the decider tomorrow. I'm Poppy Penny and this is ABC Sport Daily. Brett Sprigg will be calling the tour match between the Prime Minister's 11 and the English Lions for the ABC. And Spriggy, there are quite a few threads to pull here, and I want to start with the Australians. In the first test, we saw three different openers, and none of them were the injured Usman Khawaja, who suffered back spasms. Sam Consis is among some who will feature this weekend. Realistically, how much are any of the batters a chance of sort of playing their way back into the test side, this Ashes series, in this little tour match?
Well, I think the top three here is quite compelling. And you add to that the fact that certain players have been named for next week's Australia A squad against the Lions as well, including McSweeney and Renshaw. But in this game in particular, obviously Sam Consis, who debuted in the Test arena last summer, Nathan McSweeney, the man he replaced, who has captained the PM's 11 previously, he'll bat presumably at three. And then you've got, I guess, Peter Hanscom, and you go middle order as well. But Consis' opening partner tomorrow, I would expect to be Campbell Kellaway.
Kellaway on 99, yep. And calls through for his 100th run. Well played, Campbell Kellaway. And he continues to look a real talent now at the top of the order for Victoria.
So he's certainly a player in focus, because that's one area that we do need to look to the future, regardless of what this series looks like. The succession plan for Aussie openers has not been a great one. So obviously Sam Consis, even though the start of his test career was a bit flash in the pan, naturally the interest we have in a guy who's still only 20 years of age and could be a long-term replacement at the top of the Australian order. He actually played in the PM's 11 against India last year, smacked a runner ball 100.
Pushes through for the quick run. This prodigious talent, Sam Consis, scores another 100.
His high score of this Shield season has only been 53, so he's due for a big score, I suppose. His opening partner, though, Campbell Kellaway, the Victorian, is a couple of years older at 23, sits just outside the top 10 run scorers in this first half of the Sheffield Shield season, began his career in the middle order, and now as Marcus Harris has drifted out of the Victorian top order, Kellaway is now the guy. So that young left-hander is in the mix for higher honours as well. So I think the entire probably first three for the Australian or PM's 11 team across the weekend will be in the frame for maybe an appearance, if not this summer, certainly beyond, as we apply that succession plan.
There is a lot of young guys in both the English Lions and the Prime Minister's 11 squad. So who of those names should we kind of be looking out for, aside from some of those openers? Who should we have our eye on?
Well, I guess you look at the likes of Charlie Anderson, who's a 20-year-old New South Wales teammate of Sam Consis. And I will say, yeah, one thing I enjoy about this match over the weekend is there is a core sort of nucleus of guys from the Australian under-19s World Cup winning side from early last year, led by Hugh Wibgen, who is also in this team. And they also played an under-19s Ashes series against England, against a lot of the guys who are in this England Lions side. So yeah, the likes of McKinney and Haynes, and there's a guy called Tom Rue, who's the current England under-19s captain, who actually turns 18 tomorrow on day one of the match. So we're seeing the new generation of both Australian and English cricket in this tour match this weekend. And I think as much as Australian selectors have been criticised for not probably looking to the future too much or too often, there is a nucleus of guys on both the Aussie and English sides that will feature in this PM's 11 side across the weekend.
I'm going to do a full 180 on the youth and future chat, and I want to talk about Peter Siddle. Peter Siddle, 41-year-old, hat-trick on his birthday. Peter Siddle has been selected in this Prime Minister's 11. What is he doing back in this team?
Had his 41st birthday 3 days ago, Poppy. And yes, what's he been up to, I hear you ask? Well, Peter Siddle's most recent cricket was in the Canada Super 60, playing for the White Rock Warriors, where he was a teammate of the likes of Chris Lynn and David Milan. And yes, he has retired from first-class cricket. He officially pulled the pin at the end of last season. He'll still play BBL with the Melbourne Stars. He has a contract for this upcoming tournament. But, yeah, it's interesting. But the PM's 11 has, in the past, had this time-honoured tradition of recently retired or retiring player come in and usually captain or just appear in the team. Think of Ricky Ponting, Mike Hussey, Brett Lee, George Bailey. They've all had their turn. In the context of Peter Siddle, his international heyday was a fair while ago.
Oh, well, that was close. He's going to...
He last played for Australia during the 2019 Ashes, and that was his last test, actually, at the Oval. But, yeah, he leads a bowling attack that includes Charlie Anderson, who I mentioned earlier. And it's a curious thing. Manuka doesn't offer a lot to the bowlers, so he'll have to work hard, as he so often did, across his esteemed first-class career. But, yes, we'll see Peter Siddle with a red or a pink ball for the last time.
A long-time White Rock Warriors fan over here, so I've been following that career closely. Spriggy, this tour match is usually a one-day affair, but this year it'll be a day-night played over 2 days with the pink ball. Perfect prep ahead of the coming Brisbane test. If you were, say, an England team that doesn't play with a pink ball a lot and recently lost that test in 2 days in Perth, but England have decided to not send any of the 11 who played that match. Who can we expect to roll out for the visitors?
The names they brought in to this England Lions side. So I think all up the squad boasts five players with sort of current or former test experience. I think with a look to the current England test squad, I think Josh Tung plays at some stage in this Ashes series. I think depending on how things go for England's batting stocks across this Ashes series proper, Jacob Bethell will make an appearance at some stage in the Ashes series, and I think Josh Tung is the next bowler in.
So very quickly, if that Test 11 aren't playing cricket this coming weekend to prepare for the Brisbane fixture, what is the England team doing?
What we know is they won't hit the nets until tomorrow. Look, people joke about their propensity for golf. I've not seen any confirmed reports or pictures of them playing golf, at least in the last couple of days. But yes, they'll hit the nets tomorrow. So at that stage, it'll be a full week since the Perth test wrapped up. They'll have five practice sessions. I assume it'll be mostly nets or maybe some centre wicket practice if they're allowed to do that. Five training sessions between now and Thursday when the test starts, two of which will be under lights. Of course, it's been mentioned that a couple of guys have never played a pink ball test match, and those that have a very shoddy record compared to Australia, of course, who are 13 wins from 14 starts. So this is an England team that, as we know, Poppy, has backed its approach at every opportunity and won't be swayed into changing their ways. But gee, it's a big week in the context of the series for them and also for the future of Brendan McCullum, their coach, and Ben Stokes, the captain, beyond this tour. Because if they double down on their attitude towards, I guess, adapting and overcoming Australia, and they can't do it in Brisbane, things will get big on them rather quickly at 2-0.
You can hear Brett Sprigg and the ABC team calling the Prime Minister's 11 taking on the English Lions from Canberra on the ABC Listen app. Spriggy, thanks for your time.
Anytime.
This weekend is the Supercars Championship Grand Final in Adelaide, and Richard Crail is the ABC's go-to motorsport guy. Richard, before we get into who the contenders are, I want to start with this structure, because for people who aren't avid followers of the Supercars, they might not know what's happening when we say the Supercars Grand Final. Can you explain how we got to this point and what is set to unfold this weekend?
Think of it as the way football run their postseason. So the Aussie rules season, you start with 20 teams and then 8 qualify for a final system, and then they knock them all out until you get to the AFL grand final. It's like that, but with racing cars. Supercars have 13 events over the course of their season. After 10, they drew a line through most of the field. So 10 drivers would then qualify for the Supercars finals, and then over a series of events at Surfers Paradise on the Gold Coast and then Sandown Raceway in Melbourne and now in Adelaide, we've eliminated drivers to end up with 4 of them fighting for the championship this weekend. And it's been designed to add interest, add contenders, build some momentum and ensure that coming into this final race of the year, there is a championship battle that can be fought out between several drivers, as opposed to an English Premier League scenario where a team can be 20 points ahead at the end of the season and it's all wrapped up and there's not really anything to play for at the end of the year. This assures that we've got a title decider in Adelaide and the race will go down to the final laps of the season to find out who wins the championship.
So I want to get into the contenders. Brock Feeney, Chaz Mostert, Will Brown and Kai Allen. Feeney probably comes into this weekend as the favourite. He's had an incredible season. So say, if we know, if we can agree that Feeney might be the favourite, who's going to pose as his toughest competition, do you think?
Yeah, Brock's had a remarkable season. He's a super young driver. He's going to be a generational talent in our sport, I feel. He's had an incredible year and qualified for the finals the first. He was the top seed on points coming through and then had a very important victory in Sandown at the last round to lead into Adelaide. So he's definitely the favourite, but the closest challenger is undoubtedly Chaz Mostert. This is Chaz's best chance in a decade to win the Supercars title, and he's won three of the last four races. So he saved his best to last with his team. They had a challenging Bathurst 1000, but they were very, very good at Surfers Paradise, won again at Sandown, and they've just brought their A game to the end. So they're a bit like that finals team in football competition where they've come from outside the top four. They missed that double chance, but they've delivered their A game in finals, and Chaz is now the second seed coming into this weekend. He's only 20 points behind Brock Feeney. There's 300 points up for grabs this weekend. So I think he's the challenger. He's in great form. He's vastly experienced, and he knows how to go about winning supercars races. So he's the closest contender at the moment to Brock Feeney.
Does the Adelaide circuit suit one driver or team over the others? Like, what's the key at this particular track, do you think?
I don't think it does. This track has a habit of being something of a lottery as well because it's so demanding. The walls are close. There are big curbs. There are lots of bumps. It's often very hot. And this weekend, some rain forecast as well. So that could throw a curveball in it. Brock Feeney has been very strong here. His first ever Supercars win came at this venue a couple of seasons ago. He goes really well here. But then Chaz is a former Adelaide winner too. I don't think it'll suit any one team or driver. But if you go on recent form on the streets of Surfers Paradise, for example, which is a very similar style circuit to this one, those two finished first and second. Chaz won, Brock was second. So from a form guide, it's very hard to split either of them here, which just adds another level of storytelling to this weekend, which is really exciting.
And rain, as you say, can bring absolute chaos. It's going to be a massive weekend in Adelaide. Richard Crail, enjoy the racing this weekend.
Thank you. Will do.
It's AFLW Grand Final Eve and we have our teams. Both North Melbourne and Brisbane have decided that a winning team is a good team and will go into this weekend unchanged. The hard luck story, and there's always one, is North Melbourne's Mia King, who injured her knee 6 weeks ago but has been left out of the Roos Grand Final team despite being fit.
There's some conversations that you have to have which are really difficult ones. It's leaving players out, you know, when they're striving to play in this game. That's probably one of the harder conversations I think I've ever had to have in football, to tell you the truth.
That's a tough call. The match is a sellout at Princes Park, but if you missed out on tickets, you can catch it live and commercial-free from 6:30 Saturday night on the ABC Listen app. Soundbites. The Formula One is tight as we head into the second last race of the season. Max Verstappen is hot on the heels of leader Lando Norris and equal on points with Oscar Piastri. Winning a world championship is a huge deal, although you wouldn't know it listening to Max.
Listen, also if it doesn't happen, like, it's not going to change my life. Fine, great if I win another one, but we also have to be realistic. We are in this fight still because of other people's failures. Yes, we did really well. We have really maximized pretty much all races, but if we would have been in the position of how dominant of a car they had, let's say that championship would have been over a long time ago.
You know what is a big deal? Coaching 800 career wins in the NBA, which is exactly what Miami Heat coach Eric Spoelstra did, and his team celebrated the way all sporting teams do, by dumping water on him. Only problem? He had no idea why they were doing it.
I was like very confused.
You didn't know?
No. I was calculating that maybe we qualified for the cup. Oh. And then I'm looking around, I'm like, nobody else is getting water dumped on them. I'm like, wait a minute, what's going on here?
And UFC boss Dana White had a Thanksgiving treat for Aussie fans.
Alexander Volkanovski versus Diego Lopez. UFC 325 from Sydney, Australia.
That's going to be big. I'm Poppy Penny, and this is ABC Sport Daily, produced by Phil Pryor. Thanks to F1, the Miami Heat, Main Event, Supercars and Cricket Australia for the extra audio used in this episode.
Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.